Call the Senate Judiciary Committee to order. Today is the, I guess I should know what day it is. It's the 14th of March. It's 1:33. We have Senator Kelly here. We have Senator Schauer, Senator Wilkowski, Senator Costello, myself, Senator Caldwell, Chair. Today we're intending to bring up two items, Senate Bill 109 and then Senate Bill 124. Senate Bill 109 is the this is our deal. No, I'm sorry. I'm not. I'm 208. I'm sorry. My apologies, everybody. House Bill 208, which is the trust bill. In the trust bill, there was some amendments being brought before us, and Senator Wilkowski had brought some amendments to us that we thought there was some agreement on. That has not transpired the way we thought, and now I have other amendments come before which we haven't had a chance to look at. So what I'd like to do is, we did have some people call in to testify, and what I'll do is I'll not disparage that testimony, but what I am going to do is I'm going to have to lay the bill aside while we take a look at these amendments and try to figure out what the disagreement is, if any, and bring it back before us. My intention was to bring it up, deal with the amendments that we thought there was general agreement on, and then we'll just have to deal with the amendments at another time. So that kind of messes up my schedule a little bit, but sorry. That's not what I intended. So I didn't close public testimony on this on purpose. I had anticipated some amendments. I will try to make sure that they're shared broadly. So, because this is the trust bill is an area that is a little arcane to all of us, and so it takes us a while to figure out what these various things mean and how they shake out. So I do have Rich Homseth and Fairbanks, and I have Matt Blotmacher in Anchorage, who did want to testify briefly. So why don't I go ahead and get them on the record at this point, and then I can explain to them, if they haven't heard already, how I intend to manage the discussion. So, Mr. Homseth, can you hear us all right?
Yes. My name is Rich Hompish. I'm an attorney in Fairbanks, Alaska, and I only represent myself. Uh-huh. And I was prepared to testify against the five proposed amendments, but Senator Cockell, if there are other amendments, I'll wait to receive them.
Well, you know more than I do, because I only knew of two amendments, and so if there's five, then we'll just have to get them and have a chance to take a look at them. So what we'll do is make sure that they're shared broadly by parties that are concerned, and then we'll bring it back up. So my intention is to try to get this dispatched Friday. I've delayed this bill as we've tried to think through these agreements for some time now, and so Friday I'd like to get a conclusion to the matter, if at all possible. So, Mr. Blotmacher, do you have any additional comments at this point?
Chair Cargill, I don't. I was, again, prepared to discuss the amendments that were going to be brought forward, and that's not going to happen at this time. I'll reserve the committee members' time and call back in Friday or the next time it's convenient.
All right. Thank you. And so Senator Wilkowski was one that had drafted the amendments. Senator Wilkowski, there was two that I was aware of, and there must be others that you're contemplating.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There, my office has been in conversations with Mr. Schaftel, who's someone that has testified many times before this committee on these trust types of issues, and he had some concerns, and we worked with him to try to address those concerns, and so we came out with five amendments. I had a teleconference yesterday with some of the other trust lawyers, and came away with an agreement that we would accept two of the amendments and not offer the other three. I got an email at 12:58, so about 40 minutes ago, saying that now they don't want any of the amendments. So it's a complex area of law. We rely, at least I do, on these experts in the field. I don't want to do anything to damage this industry. At the same time, I want to make sure that we're protecting Alaskans and protecting those who are beneficiaries. And so I'll hope to have continued discussions. I don't want to delay this issue anymore. Anybody else, Mr. Chairman? Believe me. But it is a very complex area of law, and I hope to be able to sit down in the next day or two and figure out if there's some sort of consensus we can achieve on these issues.
So I understand there's three other amendments
yeah.
as well. Is that something that you can share with
sure.
the chairman that I can pass around?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. We've got them. I will get those to you, Mr. Chairman. In fact, I thought we had already. My staff is shaking, said that we had. So
they may have. I probably got them as I was walking
okay,
down the stairs.
Yeah, it's possible. So very briefly, Amendment 3, they're very short. Amendment 3, the amendment to Section 14 of House Bill 208 deletes the existing limited requirement that a fiduciary only exercise the decanting power in the best interests of only one beneficiary. The amendment to Section 14 substitutes language of the Uniform Trust Decanting Act and would require the trustee have full fiduciary obligations to all beneficiaries instead of just one. That's Amendment 3. Amendment 4, the amendment to Section 20 in HB 208 deletes the bill's new language that allows a fiduciary to only give notice to one beneficiary.
Right.
The proposed amendment requires the fiduciary to give notice to each beneficiary. And then Amendment 5, the proposed amendment to Section 21 clarifies that only the settlor may authorize a trustee to exercise the power to decant without notice to any beneficiaries. Otherwise, under the proposed language of HB 208, an authorized trustee could first decant to provide that a trustee could exercise the decanting power without notice to any beneficiaries and then have a second decanting, which would make substantial change without notice to any beneficiary. So the theme behind all three is protecting the beneficiaries and just making sure that they have notice, making sure that you don't have a trustee that is not acting in a fiduciary capacity. Those are the essence of the three amendments. It's just providing some protections in those areas, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And I think the reason for the decanting expansion was that there would be more than one beneficiary and that the trustee would be able to work with them. So I think at this point we're just going to thank you for bringing them up to us. We'll lay them aside. We'll bring them up one by one. Hopefully by then we'll have been able to have talked to the various different people who work in that industry to find out what actually is happening there and then try to figure out how we as a legislature can help them think through it. So it sounds like a policy call just on the breadth of this decanting. That seems to be the most contentious issue in this. So I'm sorry about that for those who are carrying the House Bill 208. We'll delay one more meeting, but my intention is to bring that back up to deal with these issues as expeditiously as we can. We'll have whatever debates needed to get it on the record and then move on. So thank you, Mr. Hompesh and Mr. Blotmacher, for being available. And as you can see, we'll be in touch with you on that. So we're going to lay House Bill aside, 208, and we're going to bring back Senate Bill 124 before us today. I did not close public testimony. Even though we had finished early, there were some people that had asked me if they could extend it a little bit, so I did. And so what I'd like to do here now is go through the remaining testimony that's available today. Bring the bill before us for debate or any amendments. I'd ask for amendments. I haven't seen any yet, but we'll carry on as we go. So with that, I'm going to go to public testimony. We have a few people signed up. I think we have some people in the room, but the first one that got to us was Karen Lewis, who is with Pro-Life Alaska in the Mat-Su. So Karen Lewis, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Put yourself on the record and give us your testimony, Karen.
Yes, good afternoon, Chairman Coghill and other members of the committee. My name is Karen Lewis, and I'm the director for Pro-Life Alaska. I think it's mind-blowing that we're even here discussing a bill that will give babies a chance while their mother and the attending abortionists are trying to kill them. I mean, it's insanity. But the age of abortion is insanity. It's even worse than the era of slavery, because since Roe was enacted, 64 million babies have been murdered by abortionists. That's the population of 8 New York cities, just to put it in perspective. The only people benefiting from all this death are abortionists, and the largest abortion organization is Planned Parenthood. They kill babies for money, big money. Abortion is a billion-dollar industry. This in itself is obscene, but Planned Parenthood goes even further. After killing the baby, Planned Parenthood sells the body parts of their dead victims. The abortionists know the best ways to kill the babies to be able to retrieve desired body parts to sell. This is so horrific. I mean, it's like a horror movie. However, Planned Parenthood portrays themselves as an acceptable and good service to the community. Planned Parenthood is ghoulish, evil, and murderous. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good. Woe to those who shed innocent blood. Our federal government should not be giving $600 million to Planned Parenthood. I object, and so do millions of other citizens. Women can get their birth control and cervical exams elsewhere. That's the only other thing that Planned Parenthood provides, besides killing babies. I agree with our Vice President Pence. He stated that Planned Parenthood will be diminished to the ash heap of history. It's coming. Thank you, God. And it's coming. It can't come soon enough. President Trump will be appointing several good Supreme Court justices. But until Roe is overturned, we who have good intentions and moral character must try to save every life we can. And I look forward to the day when we, as a nation, do not kill our children anymore. So thank you, Senator Geisel, for bringing this, and the Senate Judiciary Committee for bringing this legislation forward. I ask that SB 124 be passed into law. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Appreciate you taking the time to come and testify. We also have in the room Rick Small, who is in the room. Come on in. Go ahead and sit right there and pull the microphone up. Put your name on the record and give us your testimony.
My name is Rick Small. I'm an abolitionist of human abortion from Palmer, Alaska, and I'm here representing the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, I want to say that 45 years ago, a handful of people in Washington, D.C. decided that Alaska must allow the murder of children in our state. The Supreme Court is not God. The Supreme Court is not the supreme being. And that law has zero validity and zero jurisdiction, zero authority, and it is of no effect in Alaska. However, it has great effect if we bow down and treat the Supreme Court like God. They were wrong in 1857 with the Dred Scott decision, and they were wrong in 1973, and we need to ignore it. On Monday, in response to my statement, Senator Kelly said, "I don't think the abolitionists were against the Underground Railroad." And the chairman said, "That's a point well taken." That was a straw man argument. Those who are in favor of SB 124 are arguing for is that the people who were working on the Underground Railroad, who had the opportunity to save all the slaves that made it to them, decided that God didn't exist, that the Supreme Court was God, and so they concocted a secular humanist plan of rescuing only 1% of the slaves, only those with really light skin. That is the equivalent of SB 124. The abolitionists of human abortion in Alaska and all across these states are nothing like that. We, like the abolitionists 160 years ago, are proclaiming the truth of God from his word that plainly teaches that God created us in his image, commanded that we not murder, and expects our laws to reflect his righteous standard. The murder of the preborn is the greatest evil of our age, just like slavery was the greatest evil of their age. The senator's comments on the Underground Railroad is just another example of men and women attempting to use flawed, secular humanist reasoning to deal with child sacrifice. If you actually care about the runaway slaves, true justice, amend SB 124 to be the exact language of HB 250 and do it today. Five babies are being murdered today while pro-lifers play political games for votes and donations. If Matthew 25:45 were placed into our present context, those wishing to justify themselves will be saying, Jesus, when did we see you being carried by your mother to death and didn't stop it? And Jesus answering, when you had HB 250 on a silver platter and you spit on it, it was like you were spitting in my face. God is real, he is there, and he is neither silent nor sitting still. He is doing something, and you are either with him or you are against him. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Small, for taking your time. The testimony is well taken. We also have, since I let Mr. Small talk, Barbara Anderson had talked last time, but Barbara, another chance to speak up.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, very well. Thank you.
Hi. My name is Barbara Anderson, and I'm calling from Seward, Alaska. I'd like you to please listen to this little girl. It is my heart as well.
There's these guys that they can kill their own babies. Don't go to those people.
She said that happens today?
It would happen anywhere.
Oh, anywhere. Okay.
Anywhere. Anybody listen to those people? I would say that no killing any babies.
That's right. Where'd those babies come from? That's right. God made those babies, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that my mom didn't listen to the guys that wanted to kill babies.
Me too. Yeah, we got to pray for those ones whose mommies do listen to that, don't we?
Well, because people feel bad that their babies don't know.
Me too. That's exactly right. That's exactly what a person should feel like, isn't it? You're right.
Listen to those guys.
And so your mommy talked about this last night, huh? Mm-hmm. Good. I'm glad she told you. Mm-hmm. What should we do?
Barbara, Barbara?
That's exactly right.
Yes. Barbara, I'm sorry to say that I've not been able to get that on the record because it was so garbled.
Okay.
We could not make, we heard your questions, but we didn't hear the answers entirely.
Okay. Well, that's enough. She was just explaining how her mother had told her she had heard about abortion, and she was just going on to say that she shouldn't think that should ever happen because the babies are from God. But anyway, I was just going to finish with thanking you and letting you know that you are the elected, and God has ordained you as authority in our state as lawmakers. So please fear God rather than men and stop trying to regulate murder. Abortion must be abolished in accordance with the language of HB 250. Change SB 24 and replace it with HB 250. Time is of the essence. As real human beings with potential and the right to begin their life will be exterminated today. So far this week in Alaska, 13 babies have been thrown in the trash can, and you who are in the position to interpose on their behalf, ignore them. By the time this teleconference is over, at the end of this business day, two more will be gone forever, and their blood is on all of our hands. We God-fearing Alaskans are relying on your humble ethics to do the right thing. May God grant you mercy and forgiveness as you turn direction on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Appreciate your time and testimony. Now we'll go to Anchorage. Jeff Landfield, you're on. Put yourself on the record.
Hi, Jeff Landfield from Anchorage, and I'm testifying on my own behalf.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Jeff Lanfield in Anchorage, and I'm representing myself.
Okay, thank you. Please give us your testimony.
I just wanted to say a couple things. I don't think anybody wants abortions to happen, and I would urge the committee and legislators to adopt policies that allow women to get access to contraception, because when this happens, abortions go down. So if the goal is to prevent abortions, we should be providing people with easy access to contraception. When it's hard to get contraception, these things happen. Also, I want to read the definition of abortion for Merriam-Webster is a termination of a pregnancy after accompanied by, resulting in, or closely followed by the death of the embryo or fetus. So I understand the maker of the bill, what they're trying to do, but if the goal is fewer abortions, the government should focus on letting people get access to contraception instead of making it more difficult to get that. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate your time and testimony. Thank you very much. Well, that brings us to the close of this. I do have Margaret Brody, who is the Division of Healthcare Services in Anchorage, who's here available for questions. And we do have the Director of the Office of Children's Services here if there are any questions. That is going to bring the public testimony to an end on this particular bill. So I'm going to close the public testimony and go to the committee. Those people that are available for questions are still here. That brings the bill before us. I asked for amendments. I have not received any amendments. So I'm going to bring the bill before us and ask for a motion to move it, and then we'll have our debate. You want to make a motion?
Oh.
There, sure. We'll just take a brief at ease while we get that. Okay, you got it for you? All right.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill number 124, version uniform from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note.
Objections?
Objected.
You want to speak to your objections, and then we can have the debate.
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I certainly recognize this is an extremely sensitive subject. I respect the differing opinions that people have. That people feel very, very strongly about this issue, and I respect that. This bill is unusual in that it has opposition from both Alaska Right to Life and Planned Parenthood, and I can't recall an abortion bill in the time that I've been here that has opposition from really both sides on this issue for very different reasons. But I've probably received over 100 emails regarding this bill, and I would say at least 95%, if not more, have been opposed to this legislation. We had public testimony, and I took notes, and I may have missed a person or two, but by my calculation, at least 95% of the people that testified opposed the bill. And again, we heard from people on both sides of the issue, and again, for very different reasons. So there's, I think, fair to say, widespread opposition to this bill on both sides of the aisle. I think from a legal perspective, which is what we're looking at, I can't imagine that this is in any way constitutional. It requires a physician, well, first of all, and I know people disagree with this position very strongly, but it is the United States Supreme Court has found that abortion is constitutional. Our Alaska Supreme Court has found that abortion is constitutional. And this would, and so when you have a constitutional right, you have to look very carefully at how you impede on that right. And what this bill does is it forces a physician to use, quote, the best opportunity, when terminating the pregnancy, the best opportunity for the child to survive. We heard two ways that a child could survive an abortion, and one was induced labor. And if you look at the document that was provided to us by the 2016 Alaska Induced Termination of Pregnancy Statistics, which came out February 2017, that is not a form of abortion. The one form of abortion that an unborn child could survive is a hysterotomy, which is a C-section. And so arguably what this bill does is it requires that every woman who wants to have an abortion in the state of Alaska undergo a C-section. And that's a major surgery. I can't imagine that there's no way, I'll just tell you right now, that the Supreme Court will say that this is constitutional. If this bill passes, this will undoubtedly be subject to extensive litigation. We've had other abortion cases where we have stood up on the floor and said these are unconstitutional, and sure enough, the court found that they were, and they cost us hundreds of thousands, if not over $1 million. The testimony that we heard, at least the research that I've done, is that the youngest a fetus has survived is 21 weeks and 4 days, and the evidence that we have in our file, again from the state of Alaska Department of Health and Social Services, is that literally on page 6 they say nearly all 99.5% of induced terminations in Alaska were performed at 13 weeks or less gestational age. So if you look at the numbers of abortions that have occurred in the time when this could be sustained in the last 5 years, it's very few. In fact, in 2016 it was zero. Most years it's zero. My understanding is in 1 year it said 15, but that was a mistake. So I think this bill is unconstitutional. I think it's got wide opposition on both sides of the aisle, and this should not move forward, Mr. President, respectfully.
Any other discussion on the bill? Senator Costello?
Thank you. I actually do have a question, and I think it might be for the bill drafter or for the Office of Children's Services.
Okay.
So on page 2, it talks about children in need of aid. And it goes on to say, you know, why a child would be a child in need of aid. Mm-hmm. And so the way this is drafted, a parent who has sought an abortion has not abandoned the child. And so I'm confused about the definition of what it means to abandon the child, because then later you have the new section that says that if the abortion results in the child being born alive, then the parent goes back and has the ability to make that choice to pass the child off to the Office of Children's Services. So unfortunately, I don't think the drafter is working for the state anymore, but is it possible to get that clarification? Because to me that seems like an inconsistency, that an abortion is not defined as abandoning the child.
I think the abandonment is what the court can find, and statutorily what we're doing is directing them that if willing or unable, then the child can be surrendered for a child that is in need of aid. So that would be the choice of the person giving birth or wanting the abortion.
You know, I understand that that's the choice, but it seems to me that the unwillingness or inability to care for the child has been, that decision was made prior to seeking the abortion, and that's why the abortion is being sought. And I mean, it's not enough for me to, you know, mm-hmm. want you to hold the bill, but I just think that the way this is drafted, it just brings up, it to me, it's confusing.
We can do a little bit of study on it and follow the committee members with this, but my intention is to bring it up for a vote anyway. I mean, to pass it anyway, but I have my staff will keep track of that, and we'll pass it on to all committee members. Okay. So I just wanted to make a couple of comments, but I wanted to make sure that everybody else had a chance to comment on the bill before we pass it out. Any other comment? All right. So I think the opposition from the Right to Life people is because it doesn't go far enough. And that is something that I think is a reasonable discussion. For those of us who live in the land where the courts have made laws and we're trying to live under that law, we have to do what we can under that law. So it's an incremental movement. That is true. It's trying to value a life. That is true. But it's also trying to value the choice of the woman that has been given that right. But we're also trying to value the life the best we know how, as I understand it, under this law. Those who oppose it think that an abortion should always result in the death of the fetus, as they call it. And there's just many of us just disagree with that. And so we're looking for everywhere we can, I'd say we, because I'm going to support this bill, to give the doctor tools to say that that life could be valued and be surrendered for a chance to live, even if it's under the state protection. So any other comments at this point? Because I take to heart what the abolitionists say. If I could wave a magic wand and undo the Supreme Court, as Senator Bilikowski knows, I would probably try to do that. But we're not in that strata to do that at this point. I wish we were, but we're not. Any other objection? I'll call the roll. Any other comment? Okay, I'm going to call the roll on Senate Bill 124.
Senator Schauer.
Having not been here
before. Say yes.
Yes.
Senator Bilikowski.
No.
First time.
Senator Kelly.
Yes.
Senator Costello.
Yes.
Senator Coghill.
Yes. So the bill passes from committee with individual recommendations. I would ask that you'd sit here and sign the document, and then I will commit to getting the answer to your question, Senator Costello, as this thing moves along. Thank you. With that, I expected to have a much longer discussion on the debate on the amendments to the trust bill. That did not happen today. So that has given us ample time to go do other homework. So with that, I'm going to adjourn the Judiciary Committee.